You never really know where truth comes from or transformative moments that hit you out of the blue. But they come, and they come in their own terms, and they come in their own way, and we get them when we get them. And sometimes we recognize them, and sometimes we don't. Over the last couple of years, my sons were remarkably important in two very important understandings that just needed to be spoken. And I could feel when they were speaking them that the universe had, in a sense, found a way to move through them into me. It was really very powerful. I've spoken about both of them, but I'm going to return to them for a moment. One of them was when my son Josh said to me, "Dad, it's just another story." I was trying to understand a rather dynamic experience and put it into perspective. And the true perspective was that I was just finding another way to make it knowable or graspable or comfortable or meaningful on some level. And the idea that it was just another story really slammed me in a way that was so extraordinary, because I really understood how we make everything into story and how we make everything into something that will make us comfortable, that will make us go, "Oh, I get it." And we live with those stories. We have from time immemorial, and we recreate them for each other and reinforce them and ultimately become addicted to our own stories and in a way very imprisoned by them or limited by them. And for the last year or two, I've been really breaking down the idea of story as a source of truth or a source of certainty. The idea that it's just another story is very crucial in my sense of seeing things, because if you walk away from story, then you start to see what's really going on. It's hard. The other thing that hit, this was just a few months ago, or a little less, was, and you've heard this, I think, that I've been promising Blanche a trip to India for decades, and always trying to kind of back out of going, because I'm not a big fan of the discomforts of travel to foreign lands. I mean, I've done it, kind of been there, done it, but Blanche hasn't. And so I was having dinner with my son, Ari, Blanche and I, all the three of us, and I was trying to explain all of my reasons for not wanting to go, as Blanche was explaining all of her reasons to go. And then my son looked at me, and I told you this a few weeks ago, but it's resonating more and more powerfully. He just said, "It's not about you, Dad." And I bring it up again because of the resonance of it, because of the centrality of that message. Certainly a centrality for me, but I believe for all of us. It really gets to the heart of something in spiritual practice which is called selflessness. And it's probably the most elusive part of spirituality, because really our storytelling brings us into creating self, creating a road for ourself, a place for ourself, an idea of self. Selflessness is getting out of that story. Selflessness is, it's not about you. And it's shockingly potent to know that, to really deeply understand, if you can, that this whole world, that the journey you're on, that the relationships you have, that everything that's going on is not about you. You're in it, you're of it, You function within the context of a world of events and stories, but they don't all circle back to you. You're not at the center. You may not even be very important. But the fact that you always put yourself first, and I'll include the Bruce guy here in that, putting yourself first is a kind of non-engaging a deeper truth. Trying to not be at the center of things, trying to make it not about you, or let's put it more simply, trying to make it about others, is really an extraordinary experience. It's an extraordinary practice. If an opportunity comes up where you can step back and serve someone else rather than your own private personal sense of self-pleasuring or self-aggrandizement or self-inflation or self-importance, if you can just step back and make somebody else more important than you and make that a practice in your life, I am starting to see how empowering that is. Not empowering for you as an individual, as a person, as an identity, but empowering because it engages all of the forces of the universe to serve others. That can immediately be translated into do-goodism. I'm going to do good so I feel good about me. That's a real problem. When you put yourself aside to do for others so that you can feel better about you, it's self-defeating. It doesn't work that way. It has to be authentic. It has to be real. And it has to be learned. Because when you really put yourself second or third or whatever it is, and other comes before you, you start to feel the beginning of a true liberation from your being, from your drama, from your centrality, from your sense that you are as important as you think you are. All of your problems begin to minimize when you're no longer thinking that you have to take care of you before someone else. And the more you try it, and the more you practice it, there's an inner knowing that keeps speaking to you, that keeps going, yeah, 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 I get it. Actually, you don't get it, you are it. You realize that you are a vessel for service, for giving to the world, for loving the world, for giving to others, and to recognizing at the very center of spiritual exchange is the other is the self. Rudy used to say, the guest is God. Learning how to make yourself available to someone else, even when it's hard for you, is a great, noble practice. And it helps you to see where your ego-mindedness prevails. Because when you start to then have friction about, what about me? How do I fit into this picture? When you start to have that kind of thing, or you just decide that, in a sense, the tradition is that you're first, when you start to see how often you put yourself first, the trying to break that down is very, very destructive, very instructive. And destructive, it destroys the ego. But it's instructive because you see how much of the story you keep creating around your own drama, your own sense of goodness or badness, your own sense of importance or non-importance, When the world circles around you, you are not free. You are bound by your drama and your image and your sense of who you are. One of the commandments is, thou shalt have no other God before me. And honestly, when you make it about you, you are making yourself a God before God. And that's what people do. And it causes unbelievable suffering. Because there's such a built-in imperative to make us essential and at the core. And I'm not saying we're not biologically programmed to be that. We are programmed to be the center. But once you understand the programming, once you understand that this is not a source of joy, once you understand that this ends badly, as it does, it ends badly because, well, for every possible reason, but the most important one is that you're impermanent. This thing that you're extolling, this you that you think you have to bow down to regularly, is only going to be here a short while. It doesn't last. And so you're making a false god that you will ultimately see go up in flames. On the other hand, when you let go of this you that it's about, and it becomes about other, you really are starting to be about the self, yourself, the true self, the deeper self, the one self. Being about the one self is the door to liberation, and it's the door to liberation from you. Because you are the problem. You are the source of your own suffering. You are the point of contention. You are the drama. The you that you think you are is a tiny little construct that has somehow ballooned into being everything. Much of the practice that we do is a kind of incremental letting go. And asking for help to surrender. Surrender what? Surrender your separate self. To surrender this tiny thing that thinks it's everything. To let go piece by piece by piece by piece. Until the whole structure of you starts to be dismantled. And you really begin to live in this world of other being, higher consciousness, awareness. And it's not all self-referential. It's referring itself to itself. It is the most extraordinary, liberated way of looking at the world because it's not processed by you. It's not referring to you. It's basically aware of itself. And as awareness is aware of its own truth, and you are not at the center of that, everything you are seeking in your spiritual journey makes itself known. It doesn't become known to you. It becomes aware of itself. And it only does that when it's not about you. It's really a practice. It's really a practice. Walk around and go, thy will be done. Let it happen. Find the thing that wants to be done. It's really fascinating. If you really let go of it being about you, you see every second arising as an opportunity to function for, in the presence of, assist the world. You become available to everything. I mean, just stupid little things like, I should take out the garbage. I should pick that thing up off the street. You know, Rudy had this line, if it's in front of you, it's yours. I mean, that's really a great lesson. It's not somebody else's. It's yours. If you let it be for somebody else, you've missed an opportunity to finally serve and let go of you. Don't be afraid of being nothing. Don't be afraid of being tiny. You know, we're programmed for just the opposite. We're all programmed to achieve, to be big, to have, to demonstrate our bigness. You know, I mean, some of us do it for ego's purpose, and some of us do it for something, for the greater glory of God, if you will. But if you own the greater glory of God, you've become even more complex in your attachment to you. You know, so you look at the people wearing, you know, big robes and mitered hats and all these things, and I don't want to be specific about any particular religion, but people walking around with this, the greater glory of God, you look at it and you go, what? Who are these little funny people wearing all of these incredible gowns and thinking that they are this or they are that? You feel it in your bones that that's not the way it works. The way it works is the Mother Teresa, the person who just goes out there and serves. I saw a piece on television the other night on PBS NewsHour, so powerful and so moving, about a man, I forget his origin, I think Persian, who was in America living here, a refugee who became an American citizen. This man, I'll just tell it to you briefly, but it was so powerful. He lost one child to cancer, his wife to cancer, and he has a son who's profoundly deformed. What this man does, what he's been doing for the last 12, 15 years, is he has been taking on foster children who are terminal. And he just takes them into his home, and he cares for them until they die. And he goes through the process of losing every one of them. And you can feel his heart, the love he's giving. And the one child he's working with right now, beyond understanding and heartbreak, but this is a child who cannot see or hear. About 2.5 years old or 3 years old. And it only responds to touch. And so he sleeps next to this child, he's with the child 24/7, he gets help 8 hours a day for 5 days a week, and the rest of the time he's completely on his own. And you can look at this man and you just see nothing but an overwhelming heart. Just heart. Not that everyone has to go out and do that. I mean, it would be an amazing world if we all did that. But the selflessness of this person, uncelebrated. He was just discovered, that somebody found out he was doing this and they put him on the web and on the websites, or and suddenly people are sending money to him, so he's able to repair a leaky roof and buy a van that he can actually move these kids around with. But I tell you all this because we don't see this very often. We don't see in life this kind of letting go, and it's not about you, making it about someone else. And what you discover, of course, is everybody needs you. Everybody's needy, truly needy. And when you start to let go, and it's not about you, you will see need. It won't be an invisible force. You look at another person, and you look through their armor and their presentation and all the dancing they're doing around their needs to not pretend they don't have any. And you will see, oh my God, people need. What do they need? Well, I mean, you can almost guess. What do people need? Love, attention, recognition, acknowledgement. Could come down to food, sanctuary. I mean, it goes on and on. What do people need? A one moment of true kindness? This is where selflessness, this is where it's not about you, starts to percolate through the world. And what's so interesting is that life is such a dynamic living reality that it appears in front of you every day. You don't have to so much go out to seek how to help, just help what's in front of you. It will arise day in and day out constantly. What is there? Now, it may not arise completely if you lock yourself in your house and you just pretend that the world doesn't exist. It's when you are in motion, when you put yourself out into the world, where you start to walk and see and feel and touch and be part of the larger landscape, when you're part of the universe, it will tell you, this needs work, this needs help, this needs comforting, this needs your attention. And it can be anything, not just a person. You know, you see the thing that's broken in the house that finally needs to be fixed, the thing that needs to be acknowledged, thrown out, built up. Whatever it may be, you start to become a very living source of dynamic awareness. Dynamic in that you're not just aware and thinking and observing, but you're acting on what you think and observe and feel. This is very human. It's very human. And when you get past the identity of saying, oh, look what I'm doing, when you just do it because it's to be done, you're actually then one with what is. And all of us who are trying to have a spiritual life, interesting word, spiritual life. You know, I've been going through this process of going, what is a spiritual life? You know, and the best answer I keep coming up with is, this is your spiritual life. It's not something that separates you from this. It's not the transcendent. It's not the thing that lives beyond this. It's the thing that lives in this, within this context. And you may want to even look at everything that's materialized around you as spirit made matter. Spirit turned into matter. This is your spirit. Not something ephemeral that you can't see and that you don't touch and that has to do with feelings and emotions. Yeah, that's part of it. But that's all coming through the biology of you. This material world is spirit. A spiritual life is not a life that is beyond the world. It is a life of the world. And Rudy said that all the time. This is your spiritual life. Yes, we have egos, and yes, we have minds, and yes, we have identities, and all of those things are really important. We wouldn't have them if they weren't important, but they are part of the larger truth that they too, the ego-mindedness of a person, is part of the spiritual construct. But when you can open your ego-mindedness and your throat chakra, when you can begin to speak a larger truth than me and mine, when you can start to feel the world, where you can start to ask people for what they need, when you can start to express your fear and your hope and your needs, when you can start to be alive, when you can start to open your heart into the matter of the world, when you can start to build things in that are material and know that they are there to house and clothe and comfort and support and structure a life. That's when you're having a spiritual life. That's an extraordinary life. And that life, which imbues you with spiritual energy out of the material ego energy that you are, you become this whole thing, this whole person that is one with all there is. It's not to become separate from, it's not to get rid of anything, it's just to be real and not make it about you. The more you do that, the more the teaching will explain itself. You won't need to sit with somebody like me. You won't need to go to a meditation class. You won't have to practice all these things. All you have to know, it's not about you. And all of these truths will just come out of the sky, one after another, all day long, because the universe is here to teach you and ultimately to free you from this illusion that you're important. You won't walk around taking credit for anything. The joy of not taking credit will be greater than the credit. Walking around tapping yourself on the shoulder saying, oh boy, I'm doing good work today, that just gets you back in trouble. Walking around being the good work, being it, letting it surge through you, that's the joy of living. It's the joy of existing in the world. And again, you don't have to plot out some big agenda of how you're going to do it. You don't have to go off to, you know, work in a refugee care center. I mean, you can do that, but you don't have to, because there's enough in front of you to be done. There's enough in front of you at any moment to have it done. And now we are, of course, in a political climate which actually is presenting enormous opportunity for people to try to look at something beyond themselves. You don't have to, but it's there. It's just there. There's this stuff going on. What can you do that isn't comfortable for you? What can you do that's beyond yourself, beyond your particular pleasure zone? How do you break that down and expand? You do it by responding to the demands of what is and finding that the expansion that takes place is ultimately freeing you from your stories, from your illusions, from your dramas, from your focus on you, and helping you become one with what you've always been, which is all of this. So, I think that's the whole message. I mean, I don't know what more to say about it other than that, you know, I've been expressing a lot recently the fact that I don't know anything. And that's been a profound thing, because I always thought I did know, but the knowing was always something, it was knowing the story. Not knowing the story, not knowing anything other than it's not about you is probably enough. Whatever that means to you. So take it in, take it to heart, use it as whatever it will do in any way that it instructs you, and you know, God bless. Any questions?
So how does self-love fit into this?
Self-love is the core of selflessness. If you want to discover self-love, which is not a love of your ego-mindedness, or of your body self, or of the person you are, I mean, that's included, but it's what you discover when you go deeply into yourself is that yourself is constructed on something that you might give the name love to. It's like, it's sitting there all the time. It's sitting there constricted by this sense of, what about me? What about me? Why aren't I getting out? It's this kind of limited, mindful person. And it's sitting there all the time, wanting to be there, wanting to express itself. But the complete obsession with the individual really cuts it off. It's only by going deep into your heart chakra and realizing, one, that it is not your heart chakra, it is what I call the heart chakra. We share one heart chakra. I've been trying to talk about that recently, but when you go inside, you realize you've just connected to everyone and everything. And it's the thing that loves. It loves you. And it loves others through you. It loves itself through you. This is the incredible part of it's not about you, is it's about us. It's about the we, not the I. It's about the collective, not the singular. It includes the singular because it's there. But it's so much bigger than that. And the joy of expanding into totality is so much greater than just being caught up in the what about me thing. And this is not, you know, computer science. This is so simple. It's not a what about me, it's what about us. What are we? We're seeing a lot of, in the political realm, what about me? The me, 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 me. And it's a horrible, ugly thing to look at from the perspective of the us. You know, the perspective of the we, I mean, you know, of the me, 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 mine, is the way the universe works. That's how it gets constructed. And you look for self-love in that, and it loves that little, tiny, awful little thing that's, you know, not going to be around long. You know, it's not attractive. You know, I mean, again, I don't want to be overly political, but if you look at someone like our current president, he has what you might call self-love. But it really is just inches away from total self-loathing. And it's self-loathing because it knows it has no truth in it. It needs masses of people to reinforce it. Many of us are like that. We don't have masses of people. We haven't figured out how to do that. But we do have, we want our parents to love us. We want our kids to love us. We want our, you know, the people around us to love us. And mostly they don't. Because everybody's constructed in, how about me? It's about me. They want to be loved, so they're not really figuring out how to love somebody else. And if they do, most of our love of other is to get that love back. Oh, I love you. You know, I love you. I can see it with my. I mean, I love, you know, my grandchildren, but I see how it's a safety zone to be loved. They love me, so I will love them. There's this thing that's happening that's nurturing the self, which is really essential to our survival as individual people, that we are loved and we are safe. And so many of us love to get that in return, and it's a kind of it's commerce on some level. Selfless love, there's no commerce. There's nobody getting anything back, except that you discover when you truly have self-love, that it's this love of all there is. Self, this is the self. This is the self, not this, although this is part of it. This is the self. And when you really have self-love that isn't just tied up in the knot of your own little person, but really goes off into the vastness of what is, then you discover truly what love is. And it is. It's everything individual love feels like, but it's the real version of it. It's the real truth of it. And you know it when you feel it. It's so exquisitely beautiful. It's so dynamic. It's so alive. It's so vast. It's so disembodied and yet present. It's like presence is imbued with love. That's what it feels like. And when you get to that, you know the difference. And then you start to really love everyone and everything. You just do. Not everybody will let you in. Most people don't let you in. But like I've talked recently, go through the back door. Go through the chakra to the singular connectivity that we all have. You can do that. You can love everybody, literally love everybody, whether they return it or not, including people like our president and a lot of people that surround him. You can really go through the back door, find that love, and then you're not in constriction. You're not in resistance. You're in a kind of service, because people want to be loved, whether it comes directly at them or from behind. However it gets in, they want it. You know? And not just for themselves. I mean, people want what I'm talking about. They want to be not about you. They want this bigger thing. They just don't realize that that's a path that they can take. Most of us are trained differently. We're really trained to think it's all about the ego mind. It's all about how much money you make, how many toys you have, or all, whatever the thing is that you think is going to give you happiness. You learn very early on that they don't give you happiness, but you don't know why, so you want to get more of it because you think if you have more, that'll make you happy. And none of it works. None of it works. And the worst existential dilemma of all of this is that it all gets taken away. So you're building all the wrong paradigms, because every one of them falls apart. And the only one that doesn't fall apart, I believe, is the inner being that you are. That's kind of what they call spirit. You know, it's the thing that survives the destruction of everything. But don't let me say that that doesn't mean that matter isn't spirit, because it is. Even though it gets destroyed, in a sense, it gets molecularized again, there is this thing that is absolutely, exquisitely, spiritually you, that has matter and has no matter, that is everything and nothing at the same time. And that's what we're all moving toward. And one of the best paths to getting there is realizing it's not about you. That's one of the great practices. Did that anyway get near your answer? Okay. Anybody else?
I recently talked to a friend, and he's having a hard time. I haven't talked to him in a while. And aside from maybe the real, or maybe some of those are perceived problems, he's got some confusions that I kind of go through, you know, and that may be stopping him from moving from being stuck where he is. And my fear is sometimes that when I go, that negativity could be contagious, that I'm afraid to start, you know, taking on some of that stuff. How can you speak about that?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the times ego serving another ego is just a lot more confusion in many ways. One truth kind of getting in the way of another truth, or one idea getting in the way of another idea, and they interact, and we get, I mean, all of the stories we tell ourselves, all of the stories that run this world are, I've said this in the past as a big statement, but they're not true. They're just not true, because they are endlessly transforming, endlessly changing into something else. You can't, just because you hear that you live happily ever after, is not necessarily true, and it doesn't seem to be true when you look at the large picture of the world. People don't all seem to live happily ever after. They get married and you think, okay, we finally got there. Not true. You look at that and you go, I've been betrayed by that story. But what's the next story? Well, if I can get somebody else, I can live happily. I'll live happily without the person I got. And so we throw these things out at each other and we create a mishmash of ideas, and people are really, in a sense, reinforcing their confusions, reinforcing their belief systems, reinforcing their dramas, reinforcing everything that they think is real. And it's only when you realize it's just a story. It's just another story. Let it go and see what is. See what is. If you could talk to your friend from that place, if you can say, I don't know the answer. I don't want to reinforce your story. I don't know the truth. Here's all I know. All I know is I care deeply about you. I'm here for you. I can make you a meal. We can go for a walk. We can have connectivity. That connectivity may feel good to both of us because there might be something that's wonderful about people sharing their pain or sharing their need, and leave it at that. Not try to be prescriptive, not try to get something out of it, not to make it be this or make it be that, because that's just more story. You can't give them anything because you don't have it to give, and you don't know the answer. You don't know. But if you are true with people about saying, I don't know, but I can be here with you. I can connect to you. And I've been talking a lot about connectivity as the only thing I know to be meaningful in life. And it's a connectivity that has no end game in it. You just connect to connect to another person. When you really open deeply to another person, something happens that is exquisitely present. You get to connect to yourself. That's, I think, the only reason we're here, is to connect to ourself through other or just by going deeply into our own space. But when you go deeply into your own space, you discover that's where everybody else is. And you connect to everybody, and you can serve them by that connection. But if you're going in with any kind of, I can give you the answer, or if you go to this church, or you go to this synagogue, or you do this, or you do that, you'll be fine. You know, that's an answer. But it tends to, in the culture and the world that we've lived in for the last however many thousands of years, only create more problems, more hostilities, more a sense that you're going to get there in this lifetime. You don't get there in this lifetime. It's not about finding the answer in a way that the world can give you. The answer is letting go of questions. The answer is letting go of answers. The answer is just showing up to this moment, and it is shocking what's revealed. It has no clarity in terms of, yes, this is what it is. It's like, ah, this is what is. Has nothing in it holds you. Nothing in it grabs, nothing in it lasts. It's just this. And we know, you and I right now know, this is going on. This is happening. This is real. It's all we know. We don't know how, why, where it comes from. I can't tell you that you should do this or do that to make it better. All I can tell you is, this is what is, period. And it is unbelievably powerful for me. If it's not really powerful for you, I'm sorry. Go to someone who makes it powerful, who makes it real, who makes it beautiful, who makes you happy to be alive. That's kind of what the most we can know. Really, it's very simple, you know? Be with yourself. It's not about you. And it will really resonate. It will really resonate. And you can help this person. I've learned this so much now. I've gone into situations with people. I don't know what to say to them. I don't know what to say. Their circumstances are often very painful and very difficult. And I don't know what to say, so I show up and I don't say anything. And then it's really interesting. Stuff comes through. Either in words or gestures or touching. Something comes through, and they get it, and you get it. You know that. You know there's a hug, there's a something that goes, basically, thank you for showing up. Thank you for being there or here. And nothing else happens, but it's enough. So something you can do if you want to do, and it will work. Putting it in your mind, saying, well, it probably won't work, and should I go? You know, all that stuff, that's the insanity of the human race. That's the, it's about you. It's about you. I'm not enough. I can't do it. If I show up, I'll just mess it up. That kind of thing. That's all about you. That's a horrible way to live. Just know it's not about you. Show up as you are, naked and vulnerable and unknowing. Be present and watch what happens. It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal as long as you don't turn it back into you. Anyone else? Okay. Thank you very much.